The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus told his disciples a parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. And the foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them. But the wise ones brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell fast asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to those who were wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But those who were wise replied, "No, there may not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." And while they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. And then the doors were locked. Afterwards, the other bridesmaids came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know not the hour or the day." The Gospel of the Lord. In a post where the country is divided and the wounds are very clear, it might be well for us to reflect on how we as disciples of Jesus Christ understand the moment and how as disciples we are called to belong. Therefore, I would like to claim this homiletic time to offer some spiritual observations on the meaning of the moment. Something deeper, not superficial, but a gospel thought. When people in the healing art or the arts of healing think about a wound, they look for its origins in order to make a diagnosis, and then they begin to understand the meaning of the wound. So let me consider in that manner for these few moments. We need to look at the present moment in a deeper and more profound way, not in immediate reaction, but something far more pensive, far more reflective. The Buddhists will call it Buddha consciousness, to be awake, awake to the meaning of the moment. The Jewish people call it tzedakah, which is to be aware of the other person, to be aware of others, to share your life with others, to understand others and the dynamics of what is happening to the other people around us. In our Christian tradition, we'll call it an awareness, a spiritual awareness, contemplative understanding of the moment. So let me look at this for a few moments with you. In the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, we call it, there is a book called Ecclesiastes, which was shaped about 300 years before Christ. It's a collection of wisdom dealing with the meaning and the value of human life. The sayings of wisdom are ascribed to Solomon in order to give them more credibility and more gravity, although they do not come from Solomon. In the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, we have a very familiar 8 verses, from verse 1 to 8. And it begins by saying, there's a time under the heavens, there's a season under the heavens for everything. There's a time to be born and a time to die, time to laugh and a time to cry, a time to sow and a time to reap, but for everything in God's providence, there's a time. There's a season for everything. And therefore, in some ways, every one of us belongs to the seasons of life. And every moment and everything that belongs to our human experience does have some spiritual value. All of life is lived in passages. There are seasons. We have young life, we have midlife, and we have the elderly. These are passages or seasons of life. We also have the cosmic seasons of life. We have the movement of the cosmos. The waves come in and break on the ocean, they go back out, and they come back in for ages and ages since the beginning of creation. We have passages in life, we have cycles in life, we have monthly cycles. Everybody, we're involved in various changing cycles of life. Therefore, in some ways, we belong to creation. That's why ecology is important. We belong to ecology. We belong to the sacred presence and revelation of God in all of creation. Somehow, we are connected. Therefore, to understand this, we have to understand the time spoken about in Ecclesiastes. Joan Chittister, in her book, speaking about the time and book of Ecclesiastes, attaches the signs of the zodiac. Goes way back to Babylonian times. Whatever wisdom is involved in the signs of the zodiac, the astrological signs, in the present moment, we're under the sign of Scorpio. She interprets that to say to us, there is something deep inside of us. That is, there's a venom, there's a weakness, there's a selfishness. It's the part of us we deny, the part of us we don't want to face, but it's there. It's the unhealed wound. It's the sin that's not forgiven. It's the diminished presence that we hide. The true humanity, that's there. And that's what we begin to consider, she says, in the season of Scorpio. To look deeper inside ourselves. And that's what we need to do now in this post-election season. Look deeper inside ourselves. To discover the energy that's moving us. There's something more profound to be understood here. Ronald Rollheiser, some years ago, in commenting on a social crisis, spoke in this manner. He said, the crisis is a great divorce, and the great divorce between energy and wisdom. There are all sorts of energies that make up the composition of our day. the energy of young life, the energy of a strong opinion, the energy of certainty. The energy of a stubborn spirit. We have the energy of power, control, demand. There's enormous energy here. Where energy is disconnected from wisdom, it becomes chaotic, says Rollheiser. It loses its moorings if it is not informed by wisdom. It's adrift. It has no principles governing it. It finds its own way into a certain confusion and a certain chaos. On the other hand, you have wisdom. And our search for wisdom goes on and on. Where do we find wisdom today? We live in an information age. We don't live in an age of wisdom. We're inundated with information. Wisdom is something that may be separated from us too frequently. Truth, integrity, honor, trustworthiness, fidelity. These are all the children of wisdom. Where wisdom doesn't inform energy, energy is chaotic. And where wisdom cannot connect with energy, wisdom becomes irrelevant. It doesn't matter how wise the Pope is, if he cannot connect with the dynamics of energy, he cannot influence. If you can't connect, you cannot influence. So where do we go for wisdom in order to enlighten these days? Rollheiser would say, part of the crisis is the absence of authentic God. The absence of an authentic God today gives us a certain amount of chaos. So where shall we go to find wisdom to enlighten us and to somehow inform the energy of the day? Last Sunday we spoke about the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew. God's revealed word is the source of wisdom. We should have learned a long time ago that you do not mix politics and religion. The combination becomes disastrous both for politics and for religion. And yet, God's divine word must inform the energy of the day. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Give the shirt off your back. Forgive those who are not deserving. How often must I forgive? 7 times? 70 times 7 times, says Jesus. That's the wisdom of divine revelation. If we could invoke the wisdom of divine revelation and infuse this into the energy of the day, we would come to harmony. We would move toward healing. It's not something the world can give you. It is not a wisdom that comes from the world. It's a wisdom that comes from God's living presence among us, from the power of the Holy Spirit, when as disciples we witness Jesus Christ in our lives. We are patient, we are understanding. We understand that the seasons of life, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. We all belong to the seasons of life. There are cycles. We have to have the wisdom to understand the seasons and the cycles of life. In the 5th century, St. Augustine understood this. He immersed himself in the world and sought all the consolations of the world. And his life was chaos. And then he turned to the Lord. And he allowed divine wisdom to inform him. And all of the energy which he had somehow became harmonious. And in the end, his immortal prayer will be, "Late have I loved thee, O beauty, ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved thee." You were inside, but I was seeking you outside. I was searching for you in the things of the world, but you were inside. And then I discovered the truth of your presence within me, and my life was healed and became harmonious. So somewhere, our presence in the present moment has to witness the power of Jesus Christ, the healing presence of God's Spirit. That's the vocation call to which we are summoned, to be healing persons, and the healing of a people begins with the healing of a person. Therefore, somehow, we need a call to prayer, to a deeper awareness of God's presence. We need a call to be healing persons within ourselves, within our families, our communities, and within our country. In the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, this is our call to discipleship today. Amen.